Now, Kev, I don't know the exact number. I'm sure you probably do, but Vegas rotated their goalies unlike anything we've seen. I can't remember the last time. Like, didn't they go something like 15 straight games where, or maybe even more, where it was Fleury, then Leonard, then Fleury, then Leonard? I know the playoffs are different, but I didn't think going to Robin Leonard was this outside of the box thinking that some people are like crazy that people thought. What's the number of games that those two rotated back and forth? And what were your thoughts when he made the move?
It was pretty much every game, maybe one exception, since Lehner came back from the concussion. And so by the time the regular season ended, we were into the 20s. And I got to be honest with you, don't have it in front of me, but I remember you and I talking about this going into the playoffs. It was like 23 or 25 straight games. Fleury had his first ever 9-game win streak. Lehner had an 8-0-1 run in it. And it just seemed like the perfect setup. And going into the playoffs, I thought they might be that team that would actually alternate back and forth in the postseason. Didn't happen, and for good reason. Marc-Andre Fleury was exceptional the first four games of that Minnesota Wild Series, like kind of showed everyone why he was should win the Vezina Trophy this year in those four games. And, you know, frankly, if not for his performance in those four games, I don't think they get past Minnesota. He helped them build that 3-1 lead almost exclusively on his own. So, and that kind of ended the back and forth, right? And then you get into the next round against Colorado, and you know, a lot of people were curious to see them go with Lehner. But again, to me, it made sense because you could see Fleury's play fall off in those three games towards the end of the Minnesota series. So get him rested, kind of threw Lehner to the wolves in a game where the entire Vegas team didn't look ready to play against a ready-to-go Colorado squad that was lopsided, a lot of odd man rushes. And as Lehner said last night, you know, I don't think the result's any different no matter who's in net that night. So, at the end of the day, I thought we might see both of them sooner than we did. But to question the decision, I guess I get it because it seems risky because no one does it. But if there was ever a tandem that was going to try it, it was those two. And to answer your question about when the last time we saw this was, it was probably, Robin Lehner and Thomas Greiss when they were together with the New York Islanders. Barry Trotz went back and forth for well over a month at one period, and I remember talking to him about it and about this very scenario. Like, if this is the way you get through the regular season, why can't it work in the playoffs? And it gets tougher to go away from a hot hand like Fleury was at the beginning of that first-round series. Like, it's how do you pull a guy when he's clearly feeling it to the level that Marc-Andre Fleury was? But over time, that factoring in that rest, like, I get it. If Vegas, whether it was the puck handling gaffe or whether it was the poke check where it was a little over aggressive, like if Vegas saw signs of fatigue, and maybe you see it in practice where Fleury's not at 100%, you've got Robin Lehner sitting there. Get Fleury the rest. And now, to me, this is the curious part. Who do you come back with? Because Lehner was really good the other night, and yet Marc-Andre Fleury, right up there with Carey Price and Vasilevskiy, has been the best in the playoffs. So is one night off enough for him to be back to 100%? You give the net back to him? Or do we create a bit of a win-in-your-in scenario, which, to me, that's the benefit of going back and forth. You get rid of all the external pressures. So I'm fascinated to see this decision for Game 5 for Vegas.
Don't you think it's easy, though, Kev? It's Marc-Andre Fleury, right? Like, Robin Lehner, you just talked about it, doesn't really go back-to-back games even. So I think it's easy to go back to Marc-Andre Fleury. I'd actually be quite surprised if it's Robin Lehner.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, and yet, there's that age-old mentality of, again, that win and you're in. Like, Robin Lehner won. He was really good last night. And so, how do you go away from that, right? So I'm with you 100%, and I would consider going to the alternating. Like, if Fleury comes out and plays well, I consider alternating. But that just bucks the trend so much that I would be not surprised at all if it went the other way. Like, it's really easy in these scenarios to call it from the couch. It's really easy to look back in hindsight. Look at that. Remember the series, the Stanley Cup final, right? Like, after everything that happened to Luongo, after a long playoff run, as bad as it went in Boston, he comes back in Game 5 in Vancouver and pitches, I think he was a 1-0 shutout to put them up 3-2 in the series. Now, in retrospect, it's really easy to say, man, they should have just started Corey Schneider in Boston. But how do you sit the guy that just pitched a 1-0 shutout, right? Because Boston had become a house of horrors for him. And Schneider was, kind of like Lehner here, maybe less proven, not as much history, but an elite, knocking on the door of number one at the time goaltender. And revisionist history makes it look like it should have been an easy decision. But again, Luongo, future Hall of Famer, coming off a shutout, how do you not go back to him? And I think the people involved in that decision probably regret it to this day.
Looking at the other side of the coin with Carey Price, you know, you look at that goal by Brady McNabb. In that specific situation, is that a defending issue? Or is that a squeaker on a guy who's been really, really good for the Montreal Canadiens?
I'm glad you asked this one, Strudy. And we didn't, just so the folks know, we didn't set this up this time. Because I saw a lot of sort of analysis on that one, and it was wrong, frankly. I should actually tweet a picture here, but Twitter's not really working for me right now out here in the boonies on the island a little bit. But if you watch the way Carey Price goes into his glove side post in reverse VH, and I will get to sort of, you know, a better reception here for Twitter and post a picture in a bit. When he goes into that glove side post, instead of turning his glove over so like the palm is facing the shooter, he actually seals the glove side post by turning his glove over and almost closing it so that the back of the hand forms a triangle. The top of the fingers rest on the top of his pad, and the pocket of the glove sticks into sort of the knee area, the crease between the shin and the thigh. So imagine leaning into your post and you've got this triangle between your pad, sort of your shin and your pad and the post and your thigh. Rather than turning the glove over, he actually like faces the back of his hand to the shooter and closes the glove in a way that forms the perfect triangle to close that gap. And so he comes into that post and goes to get that seal, and the play pops out quickly, a little pop pass into the front to McNabb, and his vision was taken away for starters. I think if he'd realized where the pass was going to, he could have just stayed in that seal and had most of the post covered, but because he can't see how far up that pass is coming, he bumps off the post, and now instead of having that glove turned over in that unique way that he seals it, he's got to turn it back around and face the palm of the glove to the shooter. And in the process of doing so, just doesn't quite get that seal set against his leg of what we would, you know, just call a blocking butterfly. He doesn't close that block in time, and it finds a gap. So, yeah, it's a squeaker. Yeah, there's movement. Yeah, there's a screen. All of those factors play a role in that puck squeaking between Carey's thigh and his glove. But the unique way he normally seals on that post in reverse VH when he's up against it also plays a role. And, I mean, it's really, you know, I mean, people listening to this, if you can't picture it, like, it might seem kind of odd. Like, why would a goalie ever turn the back of his hand towards the shooter on purpose? But Carey plays it that way. And so having to turn it back over the other way, that process cost him a goal there. And, you know, there's no way that's a pre-scout that they're trying to identify it hit that spot. That's just bad luck and a goalie caught moving with a lot of other factors. But if not for that one factor, he probably has a better chance of getting that seal tight because he doesn't have to completely turn his hand over, something that most goalies don't.
Kevin Woodley joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Kevin, in the New York Tampa Bay series, you know, there's really hasn't been the goaltending story per se. You know, you got two good goaltenders and you kind of go from there. But if you look at that series at all, they're both down to best of threes. There's still Vasilevsky, and I just think that gives Tampa such an advantage. But you know, what do you make of Varlamov? Obviously, I'm not saying he's going save per save against them, but they're 2-2, and he's played pretty well in that series, even when he had to leave for a time in a game and come back in, something we don't see very often.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I'm kind of with you, Jason. Like, that was the thing to me in the last round against Carolina. Like, Vasilevsky had a bad game, right? Like, the 6-4 game was a bad game. And Carolina sort of reciprocated in their own end and again gave up way too much. Like, that was the one where, you know, and we've talked about that. Like, for as good as he is, you know, I'd say best goalie in the world, there's still, you know, moments. There are still more low percentage goals that go in on him. It's sort of the yin and yang give and take of his exceptional athleticism. Is there might be times where all that extra movement can and explosiveness can leave some holes that pucks squeak through. But he doesn't have them, he doesn't pile them up. You know what I mean? Like, for any, and it's not even a criticism, it's just the way he plays. he doesn't usually have back-to-back bad games. And so part of me is like, yeah, he hasn't really had a bad one here in the semifinal. I wonder if there's one coming. And yet there's also, you know, that there's great stuff coming. And maybe even he has had that bad moment, the one that went through him early in the series on the Pollock clean point shot that we talked about. You know, maybe that's all he's going to give you. But when he does go the other way, like when he's just on, it's so hard to beat that guy. And so I would give that edge to him. Whereas I see Varlamov is like, he has that upside, but at this point in his career, he's more, and maybe this is a function of playing behind the Islanders. Like, he's a little more sort of positionally sound, you know, technically based, not going to make the mistake that kills you, but might not have the same spectacular save in him that Vasilevskiy has, the same sort of side to side, from prone positions, just still get across, get a glove on it, maintain visual contact and reach out and make. Like, he doesn't have that same upside. And yet, steady and just slightly above expected throughout, look at where it's got the New York Islanders. So I think he's a really good goalie for their system. They don't lean nearly as heavily on their goaltenders as Tampa does, or frankly, as much as Vegas does with their goaltenders. It's more the defensive style of Montreal, where overall we've talked about how great Carey is. The reality is that team's pretty good defensively 5-on-5, and that's the Islanders too. And so you don't necessarily need that. And it might be, I don't say bad, but it might not be the best fit to have a goaltender like that on an Islanders team. But a guy like Varlamov, whose game is so technically sound, just fits that team to a T. They play off each other, and he's absolutely capable of pulling off this upset. Since the slow start where they had to go to Sorokin, he's been exceptional.
Breaking down the word of goaltenders with In Goal Magazine's Kevin Woodley. Woodley, going back to Robbie Leonard, there was a key moment in the game last night where Cole Caulfield broke in, went five hole, the stop was made. What was there a tip off that Leonard was looking for with Caulfield, or was he just guessing or feel? How would you break down that, what I think was probably the most important save of all the ones he made?
Well, I mean, if you heard Robin Lehner in the post game after, he said that, you know, I mean, this is the one thing about Robin, and I'm not sure that a lot of people realize that he really studies, like he really goes to town on tendencies and keys, especially on the PK. He talked about it post game last night. I thought it was kind of funny, obviously, that, you know, like, not a lot of people know about my preparation, which we're talking about right now. But, you know, I would argue that if he really did spend 2 of the 4 hours arriving to the rink early watching Twitter, that's not the preparation I know him for. So it's normally better spent doing things like, as he said after the game, like the book on Caulfield was high glove or five hole. And once Caulfield went to the deke, like, you could see that, you know, Lehner seemed to sit on it. And you could call that just patience. But I think that's a mix of patience with trusting the pre-scout was going to be right, because a lot of goalies in that situation are going to think that Caulfield is trying to pull them wide, and they're going to be anxious to get that left pad out and extended, and that's what Caulfield's looking for. And so no matter what, you make a goalie move east-west like that, there's going to be a bit of a hole. But he never got Lehner to really commit and be fully extended. And again, in Robin's case, really good job with stick discipline. He keeps it down in front of him. He sort of tracks across with his hands and his stick in front of him rather than leaving. You can see on big breakaway moves, sometimes goalies get a little counter rotation where the legs are moving to their left, but the body gets caught behind and the stick sort of flails behind them. You know, Robin had a really good controlled push and kept that stick in the five hole area, but really he never opened up. It was there slightly, but never big. On the other side of that, I wonder how much Cole Caulfield went to school on Robin Lehner, because, you know, the tendency, that was a pretty good breakaway. There was not a ton of back pressure on there. And so you saw Byron shoot, and that was a great shot. But Robin Lehner's not going to come out as far or as aggressively and flow backwards into his net as, say, a Marc-Andre Fleury. He's going to have less movement. And so you either punish him for being a little bit deeper by making a great shot, or if you're going to go for a deke, you got to sort of try and cut in on a little more of an angle and string him out longer. Because once you sort of get past, because he doesn't have that momentum, instead of sort of that slight open up and back five hole, if you try and stretch him all the way across to the back post, a lot of the times he will get reaching a little bit. Rather than a push that gets him all the way, he will start to extend that left pad. And when he does, as good as he is, as nimble as he is for a big guy and able to keep the hands active, the tendency is going to be to start to fall forward. You saw it in a couple of those instances earlier in the game where once you get him reaching, that's when you get him off balance. And so as good a job as Lehner did having the book on Caulfield, I kind of wonder how much young Cole went to school on the different goaltender and the changeup from Fleury to Lehner, because that sort of deacon of the five-hole move is one that, you know, you'd absolutely look at as a go-to if Marc-Andre Fleury's in that, because his moves are so much bigger and explosive and he tends to open that hole more. Whereas Lehner, like, you don't beat him through the body very much, like very rarely. That's one of his strengths. And so, you know, as much as the hole was there ever so slightly, to me, that's not your A move if you're trying to beat Robin Lehner.
Kev, great stuff. We appreciate it. Enjoy Victoria, and we will talk to you about the Stanley Cup Final next Monday.
I'm looking forward to it, guys. Looking forward to it for sure. And like I said, I promise I'll put that, if anybody can't follow along to the description I had of Carey Price, I do have a photo. I'll throw it up on Twitter. You can check it out. You'll be able to see just how having to turn that hand over would have led to that goal.